Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, Faith Church, every campus, Earth City, Ferguson, Sunset, Weldon, RPC, online, the Metaverse, soon to be Mars. Come on, somebody. Are y'all ready to have fun today? It's been every campus today, the worship set, I looked at it and I said, oh, it's going to be good. But it was popping, and I can watch the feeds and see what everybody's saying and doing. And I mean, I just want to give it up for our worship team, the audio department, the video department, the lighting department. Come on, give it up for the people that got here at 5 a.m. and set up and practice and adjust our way to the top. Before I get into that talk today, though, a quick announcement. Starting September the 15th, not starting, it's one day only at Earth City. So all the campuses in St. Louis, you can go to Earth City. And then here at the same night, Royal Palm, we're having a men's night. And one of the things I love about our church is I speak at a lot of churches and get around. And thank God for women, because they have held the church together. But it's unusual to see a church like ours where there's so many men. So I know it's a lot of clapping, but can we give it up for all men's today? Yeah, we got some men of God going to church. I'm stoked about it. Adjust your way to the top. Life is all about adjustments, and I got this chiropractic table. I want Dr. Hope to come out here. I have kind of a fleet of doctors to make me go. You know, they give me vitamin injections, and they adjust me. They adjust everything except my attitude. Nicole does that, right? And Dr. Eric in St. Louis, he's always giving me the IVs and adjusting me. And then Dr. Mike Frisella, years ago, I couldn't breathe. I started preaching so much, and I damaged my throat and my nose. I heard about this guy that does angioplasty in the nose, and he did it with this balloon. He was Roman Catholic, and I didn't know anything about it. You know, by the way, our church in St. Louis is 70% Catholic, and I thought he said Roman Catholic, so I thought that was like he roamed from church to church. I didn't know. I know it's silly, but he said no. I invited him to church. He came about 10 years ago. He's there every service. Come on, give it up for Dr. Frisella. They adjust me, but I had this idea for Doc with Hope Wellness. They got a bunch of clinics here to just adjust me. What do you want to do first? So like my back this way? Okay, so it feels good. I could have went to the chiropractor. I didn't have time, and I didn't want to pay a copay, so I thought doing it at church. All the way down the side? Okay. That's good. I already feel it going. Oh, yeah. There it is. Got that one. Just bear with me. I'll preach in a little bit when they adjust me. Get me right. So alignment is so important. Oh, did you hear that? Feel that? Wow. How many of y'all heard that? I was just like, golly. And then, of course, this one's the huggies. What are we doing? This is very, I haven't been hugged in a while. Oh, yeah, I felt that one. And then always my hips, because I want to be taller, because Nicole's taller. And this right hip, I traveled 58,000 miles in the last 30 days, okay? It's unusual a lot, but I'm in an airplane a lot, and I can feel this thing get stuck. And so I call the doctors, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Actually, Austin, they've taught him how to do this. Oh, thank God. He never went to chiropractic school, but he doesn't charge me. But I can feel it, the adjustment. So now I actually feel it, honestly, the alignment is better. Now, in this alignment with your spine, this isn't a big push for chiropractic, but for years they did call these guys quacks, and they're not real doctors, but unbelievable, brilliant doctors in our church. And it really lines everything up. Actually, during that adjustment, I could feel this right nostril open up. In fact, right now, if I wanted to gross you out, I could definitely go, but I won't do it. We'll just dream about it. But give it up for Dr. Hope. He's very muscular, you know. Thank you, man. I love you hanging. I always tell him, when you adjust Nicole, wear a long shirt. I don't want her to see what's possible in a man. But adjustment. Adjust your way to the top. Sometimes in marriage, in business, not sometimes, all the time, raising kids. Life is a series of adjustments, okay? So you have to adjust your approach. I'm a pilot as well. We talked about that last week. If you didn't, go back and watch the sermon. And we talked about how I slid off the runway at 140 miles an hour with 102 gallons of fuel on it. How many of y'all know it's not a good day ever to flip over and blow up and go to heaven? It's good to go to heaven, but not that way. Come on, Florida, I'm trying to be funny with you people. St. Louis, play along. Okay, life is a series of adjustments. They say, right, your attitude determines your altitude. So life is about adjustments. But adjustment first happens in you. So people all the time say, I wish my wife would change. I want my kids to change. But there is no change until you change. They might change, but most likely they won't change. But if you change, but we always go, you change first and then I'll change. But no, change happens in you. Positive change happens when we adjust our approach and we keep adjusting our attitude, how we respond to people. Have you ever met people that you like them, but they're like, hey, I don't take them to parties because they're weird or they got an attitude. If you don't raise your hand, I'm assuming you're the person that we're talking about. Let's try that again. Raise your hand if you're not talking about that. Like, hey, yeah, I'll tell. But they've never really learned the art, the technique of how to speak to people instead of speaking at people. I watch communicators just for fun all the time, and I was actually preaching this week and two guys went before me, and the one guy went up and he was so cool, man. He's like, his suit was perfect. He was obviously shredded. When you look shredded in a suit, I'm like, this is a disciplined dude. And he got up and he was like, welcome church. We're so glad that you're here today. And he kept his little notes there and he looked at his notes all the time and he never moved. He was incredible, but he didn't connect. No judgment, just watching it. Then the other guy got up, and he actually went to Concordia University there in St. Louis, Lutheran. Let's give it up for all the Lutherans and Catholics, and they're doing a great work. And again, he did a good professional job. He talked about how he knew Greek, and he talked about how he knew Hebrew, and he kept talking about all this stuff. And I don't know Greek and Hebrew. I know a Hebrew guy that owns a pawn shop and a Greek guy that sells me lamb. Come on, but that's all I know. But they both did something that I find not appealing. They kind of read to people. I don't really read my notes. I'm not stuck to my notes. I'm kind of flowing and trying to connect with you. So I'm only saying that to say that you have to adjust your approach. Within a couple minutes watching them, I was intimidated by their education. I was intimidated by their look. But then I had to say, hey, adjust your attitude because you're about to land this thing. So I just went up and said, hi, my name's David. And I just started talking to them, not at them. And within 2 or 3 minutes, we connected. Are you all following what I'm saying right now? So I'm talking in sales, you connect this way. On a date, you don't go up to a girl and say, hey, you know, I'm not looking at you now. You wouldn't want to go out with a guy like me, would you? No, you got to look her in the eyes. You got to get up in there and be like, your eyes are like the streets of Paris. They cross. No, not that one, right? Not that one. I was just kidding. Don't do that. But here's my point. If you're going around and you don't adjust your approach and you think all men are bad or girls don't like you or you're not going to be successful, then you don't know who you are. So today we sing a song that said, it said something like, I know who I am. I'm not here. I know who I am. I know who I'm. There it is. I am enough. I'm in now. Come on, someone. I am enough. You are enough. So when you go to church and you hear worship and the word, you leave Sunday, you walk out on Monday, and just like I got an adjustment at the table, you lay down and say, God, adjust my attitude, adjust my heart, adjust my approach. And also, I know that God loves me in spite of what I've done, because I'm not what I did. I'm what I do. So you might have did something stupid, but for the most part, you make smart decisions. Life is all about adjustments. When I was a child, the Bible says, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, it's not sexist, a man or a wombed man, I put away childish things. In other words, I don't respond the way I used to respond. How many of y'all used to respond if somebody slapped you, you slapped them back? Raise your hand. How many like me and you're like, you still do on certain days? You know what I'm saying? Catch me on a wrong day? Catch me outside. How about that? Remember that girl? All right, okay. Come on, let's bring that back. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, catch me outside. How about that? Life is about adjustments. And so many times people fail in life. They're not failures. They fail because they fail to readjust. I'm going to say it again. They fail in life not because they fail. Failure's not final. Failure is only an opportunity to say, that didn't work, so I'm going to adjust my approach. But if you get to thinking that you are a failure and you don't renew your mind, that's partly why people don't come to church, a lot of churches, because they come in and say, you're on your way to hell in a handbasket. If you were to die today, you're going to drive out of here and a cupcake truck's going to hit you and you're going to wake up in hell. You got one foot in hell and another on a banana peeler. I'm telling you why. And they, have you not seen people like that yelling, I tell you what's wrong. And we already know what's wrong. I want to come in and somebody say, I'm going to acknowledge every good gift in me. I know that God is working all things together for my good. I'm blessed. I'm favored. I'm anointed. God's about to do something good in my life. Hey, come on, somebody, and I get adjusted. And then here's the thing. I know this is going to sound weird because it's not really the way I necessarily preach all the time. So I'm positive, but I am positive that stuff's going to happen. So if you adjust your attitude and realize, now I don't believe in the Murphy's laws, if it will go wrong, it's going to be wrong. That's a negative mindset. But I do think if I expect that my mic might pop in my pants, I put it in my front pocket instead of my back because I knew that this 200-pound doctor was going to grab me and pop me, and I didn't want to hear all the stuff that might happen to the mic. I expected, I anticipated it, but if it would have went crazy, I wouldn't have freaked out. I would have just went, man, that scared everybody. Or I would have rolled with it. You know what I'm saying? For instance, COVID, maybe this will help you. During COVID, they shut down the church. We couldn't go to church. So we had to adjust. Remember, adjust your weight at the top? So we just pulled all this gear out of here and we took it to my house. We got pictures of it, I do believe. And so now I'm at my house. My daughter-in-law's running the camera. We got child labor laws, but we don't. It's not illegal because we didn't pay them anyway. And we put the LEDs together, and that's a green screen, which means that thing looks green behind me, but you can put an image on it so it said Easter Sunday. So here it is, Easter Sunday. The church is shut down. I'm shooting it on a Thursday, and I'm up talking about, it's Sunday, it's the Lord's Day, it's Easter. I don't like it. I hate it. In fact, I look to my right, and my father-in-law, with all his white flesh from Missouri, and his little, I've eaten too much pasta, he's laying beside my pool. So I look over, and I'm like, what in the world? I couldn't unsee it. I'm here to tell you that that setback could have kept me back, or I could have said, I'm going to adjust my attitude. It won't always be this way. And we actually, after a while, we got used to it. And after like a month of shooting at home, I had never been off on the weekends. I was like, I love doing church on Thursday. I'm done. I can lay by the pool with my father-in-law. In my whole life, I'd never been off on Sunday. But then here's what happens when you adjust the setback. Raise your hand if you're following me. Come on, all campuses. When you adjust to the setback, here's where you got to really be comfortable, is when I laid down there and he kind of popped my back, it felt good. I thought, man, I think I want to preach from here today. Feels nice to lay down. Feels nice for my spine to be decompressed. See, sometimes when you adjust in a failure situation, you got to make sure that you go ahead and get yourself sprung back up and say, you know what? I'm not going to get used to not doing that. I'm going to get my life back. I'm going to enjoy this season, perhaps, of being divorced. I'm going to enjoy this season of my kids being this age, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to get comfortable because God's going to take me to a new elevation from glory to glory, faith to faith, victory to victory. But I'm going to have to adjust my way to the top. Joseph, let's go there. Genesis 37, this is a great adjustment story. Now, Joseph had a dream. I had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him more. Then it says, indeed, are you going to reign over us? Are you indeed going to rule over us? So they hated him even more because of his dreams and for his words. I want to underline that, for his words. So Joseph has a dream, but he's young. Sometimes when you have a dream when you're young, you have to really adjust. That's why you got to get in a group, because iron sharpens iron. Because you'll say things to people that you don't mean to make them hate you, but they will hate you because a lot of times people hate it when you do better than them. Somebody ought to say amen up in here today. They're living in a single wide trailer. You get a double wide trailer, you're gone. You got an apartment, they have an apartment, but then God blesses you with a condo. It's like, who do you think you are, Mr. Big? Have anybody experienced this? So now jealousy, the pitfall that he falls into is Joseph doesn't know that he shouldn't share how great his life's going to be. And if we drill it down, you know what it really is, Pastor Phil at Weldon. Everybody give it up for Pastor Phil at Weldon Springs. Me and Phil were talking about this week. And Phil said, Pastor David, you know, it's actually pride that made him do that. Just kind of got to tell you guys, I'm going to be a big deal. And like, you guys are going to bow down before me. Pride has to announce itself. Pride has to flex. Pride's got a gram about how great it is. Pride, pride, pride. Here's the problem about pride. It comes before a fall. So there's nothing also wrong with, let's adjust this, with being proud. I'm proud of my son. I'm proud of my church. I'm proud, but I'm not in pride. And pride is, look at me. But see, you got to judge yourself all the time because pride comes and it tastes sweet, but it's actually the enemy trying to get you to self-sabotage to keep people from liking you, family from loving you. So here's what it did. Now he has to judge himself because his brother's like, okay, hot shot, then we're going to throw you in the pit. So they took him in the pit. Verse 24, it says, so they took him and they threw him in the pit. They said, well, wait a minute, He's down there probably thinking, my gosh, I thought I was going to the palace, and here I am in a pit. You ever found yourself in a pit? Yeah. Ladies, it wasn't Brad Pitt, was it? It was armpit, right? So he's in a pit now. Then his brothers say, hey, wait a minute. We're going to adjust it. We shouldn't just throw him away. We ought to sell him as a slave. So they come and they pull him out, and he's thinking, oh, they're pulling me out. Thank God. And they're like, no, we found there's profit in selling you. So now he's dealing with betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed? Yes. He's dealing with hurt. He's dealing with prayer. And so he has to adjust himself once again. And now he's sold into slavery. And at that moment, he has to make an adjustment. Now I'm a slave. Then he, because the grace of God, the anointing of God was on his life, he's now elevated. And now he's working inside Potiphar's house. And then his wife got the hots for him because he was ripped. He looked good. He looked like Dr. Hope. Could go with me on this right now. And she's like, oh, hey, listen. And so she wanted to get with him. He said no. She ripped his shirt off. He ran out of the house and he looked guilty. So he was accused of something he didn't do. He's betrayed again. He's hurt again. And now he finds himself in jail for something that he didn't do. Some of you might be in a prison today for something you didn't do. They did it to you, but now you're holding on to it. I was praying for a person this week that she's an adult now, but she was molested starting at 3 months old. See, can you imagine going through that? No, we don't even want to go there. But this person needs to adjust. And a lot of issues, as you might imagine. But the fact is, now we're getting down to the surface and she's figuring out, listen, that happened to me, yes, but now I'm going to flip the script on the enemy and say, it happened for me because I'm going to look to protect children. I'm going to look to get people healed. I'm going to look to move forward. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Come on, Sunset. I see you, Earth City. So they put him in prison. Verse 20 says of 39, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and there he was in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. He showed him steadfast love, and he gave him favor in the sight of the jail keeper. Now check this out. Even when you're going through a tough time, if you'll adjust your attitude, you always say, God's going to work it for my good. I know he is. And then you download Travis Green's song. I love Travis. He calls himself Travis Green Crank. He's got that song. You should download it. It says, God's work all things together for my good. Da-da-da-da-da. He's intentional. He's intentional. The reason I don't know the words is this stuff comes out of my spirit, into my head. I got to process it and bring it out. So if you're wondering, he sucks at remembering words. No, it's pretty good. I'm bringing it up out of database because a lot of my stuff is like Margaritaville. Come on, go with me on this. Don't act like you don't know that. Let's do this for fun. This one's not in my spirit. This is my brain. It's not good. But Have you ever had fun singing this song? Sweet Caroline. Good times. I guarantee you that's not happening at any church in America. How many of y'all vote? Just didn't happen today. You heathens, you're like, bop, 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 just that quick. So now the prisoners aren't having the favor that Joseph is having because the Lord was with him. So now he has to make another adjustment. It goes from, hey, being thrown in a pit, bad, adjust myself. Being accused of sexual harassment, adjust myself. And it gets worse. Now I'm in prison. But he keeps adjusting himself. And now all of a sudden there's a dream that happens. Joseph is now known for his ability to interpret dreams. Verse 6 says, when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled, and he asked them, Pharaoh's officers, why are you in trouble today? Why do you look that way? Here's what I want to point out there. Joseph had what I would call the gift of reading the room. I can read the room. Like, if I was preaching at Lakewood today, as I have before, I wouldn't try Sweet Caroline. You just got to read the room. So he reads the room and he sees that these guys are trouble. Notice that he has an answer to a problem that they have and he addresses it. And again, I want to pause and say, this is why you got to be around people of the church. So you're like, I'll just watch online. Well, nobody can see you to say your spiritual health has declined. You look a little anemic. And so now you're negative and nobody's there to go, hey, negative Nancy, you know, go to church, lift up your hands, sing, maybe even throw in a little Sweet Caroline. And now you feel better about yourself. Raise your hand if I'm making sense. Come on. So now you feel better about yourself. So you adjusted yourself. And that's what Joseph did. But there was more setbacks. You know, when the Potiphar has the dream and he has the interpretation of the dream. He tells, they came in and said, hey, you know, I'm going to meet the king in 3 days. He said, great, don't forget about me. So then when the guy got up and out, Joseph doesn't hear from this joker for 2 years. 24 months in jail, he's got the answer, but the man who was supposed to give him the break, the leg up, was supposed to make the call, introduce him to the person. Now, Joseph has to spend two more years. Can you imagine that? This guy leaves 3 days, and then 24 months later, you get a call saying, hey, bro, I forgot that I was supposed. Let's talk about time. Doing time, killing time, wasting time. Time is the most precious commodity that you have. Time. So what are you going to do in the meantime? Through the divorce. Meantime, this setback. Meantime, I don't know what I'm going to do. Meantime. So you got to adjust your way to the top. You got to go, hey, if I'm doing time, I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better. So I'm going to adjust my attitude and say, yes, I was molested. Yes, I was raped. Yes, they lied about me. There's a false Google search about me. Whatever it is. But if you don't lay on the table and adjust your attitude, then the only person who's really getting hurt is not them. It's you. It's like drinking antifreeze and expecting your enemy to die. So let's jump down now to the end for the sake of time. By the way, maybe he had to stay there 2 years because he hadn't adjusted his attitude. I see people all the time. Talked to one a couple days ago, and they're, this is bad, and that's bad. They're very successful, by the way, live in a mansion. And they said, this is bad, that's bad, and this is bad, and that's bad. And so I said, hey, here's a prescription. At least come to church this many times and do this. And then they told me, I would, but. So your butt will get you in trouble. You got to get your big old butt out of the way. In other words, I would, but I don't think I would, but you gotta say, no. If somebody is being successful or they know something about life and full of the word, if you want what they've got, you gotta find out precisely what it is they're doing. And then if you do what they do, God's not a respecter of persons. So if you adjust your mindset, where the mind goes, man follows. I'm going to tell my mind to flip my body around that way. I'm going to tell my mind to make my right foot go out. Just for extra, I'd spin it. Also, I'm wiggling my toes just to be fun in my shoe. The mind's phenomenal. And if you don't think this is phenomenal, watch people that have a stroke. My friends, some of them have, and they try to go grab a piece of bread, and their mind is telling them to do it, but their motor functions, they're set back. I'm telling you, you got a lot to be thankful for today. You can move your hands, you can move your fingers, you can move your butt, and go to church, you can do a little spin. Come on, somebody, you can be like doing all kinds of cool stuff. I'm here to tell you that your life is not over. The best is yet to come in your life. Adjust your attitude. Raise your hand if this is helping you, all campuses. Come on, every campus. In our last 4 minutes and 55 seconds, if I stop when the clock says, however, in Florida, I only preach one time versus five times in St. Louis, and I still take in the same amount of caffeine, so that's probably not gonna happen. Now, his brothers, there's a severe famine, a setback. There's an incredible recession. We got a series coming up in a few weeks. You're going to be armed with these cards that you need to go pass to everybody everywhere, because friends don't let friends go to hell or live through hell. And so in a few weeks, we're starting a series called Faith, How to Recession-Proof Your Life. And I'm going to give you keys and ingredients that can change you and keep you out of the world system and keep you in the word system. But my point is that now the world's in a bad recession. And after all that stuff, here sits Joseph in the main seat of power. He's controlling the money. He's controlling the nation. God did what he said he was going to do, but it took a really long time after time. See what I'm saying? It's just coming up. I can't help it. Cyndi Lauper is running around in my brain. Girls just want to have fun. I'm so adjusted, my hips are moving like Elvis. Time. Took a long time. He told his brothers, y'all gonna bow down before me. I'm gonna be the man. Now, all these years later, he's the man, but he doesn't care that he's the man. I'm here to tell you that for your marriage to get better, you can't care that you've got to be right. I met a girl the other day. She said, I married Mr. Right. I just didn't know he was always right. I met a guy who had his wedding ring on the wrong finger. I said, hey, I hate to tell you this, but you got your wedding ring on the wrong finger. He said, I know. I married the wrong woman. But see, when you got to be right, when you have to have the last word, it might be the last word. I'm gonna be the man. Now Joseph's sitting at the seat of power. His brothers come down and they bow down. They don't know it's Joseph. They're just coming for help. They're beggars. He looks up and he sees it and he recognizes them. They look up and they don't recognize him because he has changed so much. He's not the man that he once was. He notices them, and he doesn't walk over and say, hey, guys, told you so. I'm the man. Check out my Instagram feed. Look at my Bentley. Look at my range. Look at my Rolly. Look at my lips. I got it all tucked, moving. No. He looks at them, and he loves them. That's what Jesus does. Jesus looks at us and he loves us. And the more we're like Jesus, the more we won't be judging people because of what happened to them. By the way, you don't even know what caused them to be this way because you don't know what it is that happened to them that they're not telling you. So it's good just to err on the side of love. By the way, stop bringing all the mess into the church and into your life of just the dumb stuff of like politics. Like, leave it out there. You're all looking for an answer and it's not gonna come until you look for the answer, and that's Jesus. Times are gonna get tough, but if your hope is in man, somebody ought to shout amen to this today. Leave it outside, don't bring it in here. Here we're saying, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. The anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. Just quit watching that junk. It's just a bunch of mess. Put it away. I got a video in case I thought today. I love little dog videos. I saw this video and I was like, this is a guy that doesn't get it, and this is what some people do. Check out this big dog in a cage. I just keep doing it. I just gotta keep doing it. What? That's some of you guys. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to the growth track. I don't need to be nice. I'll keep watching Fox, CNN, CSNBC. Don't need. That's a dumb dog. Cute dog, but how many of y'all don't want to be the big dog? You know, some of the smartest dogs are little dogs. This dog made the adjustment. Check this one out. This is your second dog. Got a plan. Adjusted my attitude. Yeah, adjusting again. I don't think so. No, I know what I want. That's not it. That is not it. Yep. Come on, give it up for the little dog. The little dog. No. That dog's like my daughter. I try to get her to eat a salad. She said, I don't eat the stuff I eat. That's it. In other words, like she eats cows that eat green grass. So she doesn't eat the stuff that the stuff she eats. Ding, ding, ding. See what I'm saying? So you got to know what you want. Everybody shout, you need to know what I want. And then you need to adjust your attitude to get what you want. And then you have to oftentimes, all campuses, change your approach. If it's not working, stop doing that. Stop it. I want to preach a message maybe in a couple weeks called, stop it. I'm cheating on my wife. Stop it. I got a negative attitude. Stop it. You don't like it. I won't do it. Stop it. You can do it. Last scripture I want to give you is Matthew, the 9th chapter. It talks about, you know this, about wineskin and new wine. It says, neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins or old mindsets. If they do, then the skins will burst and the wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into the new wineskin and they're both preserved. So what I'm saying is you got to adjust your attitude. Because this new thing that God wants to do you and to you and through you in 2023 is going to require some adjustments. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about right now. Here's what I do oftentimes. God spoke it to me this about a week ago, and you ought to write this down. He said, little obedience brings little opportunities. Big obedience brings big opportunities. Little obedience, David Crank, brings you little opportunities. Big, muy, muy gordo. Now I want to go to Taco Bell. How about you? I just thought, if you haven't had the chicken chalupa or the crunch wrap, hallelujah, thank you, God. Big obedience brings big opportunity. Now here's what I do, and I want to know if you do this at all campuses. St. Louis, listen to me. Sometimes I know what God's telling me to do, and I just don't do it. I know what to do. And then I pray, God, help me. God, bless me. God. And God's like, I love you, but ping. And then I judge other people, by the way. I go, I just told that guy. Remember I told you? I told the guy what to do, and he said, I know, but. I was thinking about it, and I was telling somebody about it. And then I said, oh, wait a minute. I think I just had an epiphany moment. I think that might be what God's saying about me. I would love to do more with you. Little obedience, little opportunity. Big obedience, big opportunity. So that means we got to go back and say, all right, what do you want me to do, Lord? Well, we know what he wants us to do. I think that, do you guys have that slide, perchance, of the seven things? When there were 7 months left in the year, God told me, now you just got September, October, November, December. So, you know, very, very short. But he said, the last 7 months, he said, do these seven things and it'll go well with you. Let's all say number one together, all campuses. What? Fast. Number two is? Number three is? Number four? Number five. Number six. Number seven. Kind of felt like Family Feud when we were reading that. I was just saying. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I love Family Feud, by the way. If we do those seven things, we will be doing big obedience. But I can't go to church every week. Probably can, because we have so many services, especially in St. Louis. So many campuses. We've got a theater near you. For real. And you guys, by the way, are doing good on that. I think you only have like 430 more seats to pay for that bad boy. Give it up for all the team. Come on, don't patty cake. All campuses, get excited. We're one church with many rooms. Why do we need many churches? Because there are many people and they need to discover who they are in Jesus. When you get to heaven someday, and you're going to go, when you get there, you're going to look back and say, man, I wish I would have done more of the big stuff, the important stuff, and less of the little stuff that really didn't matter. But by the way, I want you to write this down. I got this from Tony Robbins. Success leaves clues. So if you look at someone that's having success in an area and you would like to have what they have, then you need to find out precisely what they're doing and do it. So I think about Scott Criswell that welded there. He served God. He worked for Jesus, secular stuff, but he came to church every week and said, I'm raising money for Jesus. And then God got him in the hand sanitizing business, and then he got richer than Michael Jackson, and he's still at church every Sunday. And a tither. I think about a man from Illinois who at our church at Sunset Hills, he has an incredible business worth millions and millions of dollars, and then he goes to the lake and he, instead of buying a condo, he builds a condo development, which is now selling out. It's the most premier thing. I'm watching little single moms who said, I'm going to honor God, and even though I don't have a husband, and God's blessed them with cars and their own house, and they didn't need a man, nothing wrong with having a man, but they said, I already got a man, and subsequently, he is my father, he is my provider, and I'm watching these people experience incredible growth in their life, because they're actually taking a good idea, mixing it with somebody else's good idea, and a good idea mixed with another good idea is a great idea. Stand with me at all campuses, and I want to pray with you. Okay, as you're standing, nobody leaving yet at all campuses, how many of you raise your hands and say, man, this is what I needed today. I want to see it. Raise it. All campuses, I can see it. How many would say that the Holy Spirit even said things to you when I was talking just to you, like a sidewinder deal, and you're like, oh yeah, that's God. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you weren't offended by Sweet Caroline. Just, you're like, don't do it much, but it's okay. I want to pray that God helps you in this difficult time that you might be in. Some of you might be in a great season of your life, but you can go from great to greater. I love what Martin Luther King said. He said, you know, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But whatever you do, don't stop moving.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.